This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 60 years ago, a young Detroiter graduated from Wayne State University, his freshly minted bachelor's degree in music in hand. That young artist was ready to make his mark on the world, and make it he did. George Shirley went on to break new ground for diversity in the performing arts as an operatic tenor and a music educator. Today, he's a professor emeritus at the University of Michigan School of Music, Dance, and Theater. His latest accomplishment? He recently received a National Medal of Arts from President Obama in a White House ceremony. Professor George Shirley, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And congratulations, being one of the 11 winners of the National Medal of Arts, and we should note, along with the University Musical Society, so it's kind
yes.
of a doubleheader this year for U of M.
It was wonderful to be able to be a part of that.
I just want to tick off these litany of firsts that you've achieved, because they are remarkable. The first African-American to sing in the U.S. Army Chorus. First African-American tenor performing a leading role at the Metropolitan Opera, and you sang there for 11 seasons, and then you have sung all over the world. First African-American hired to teach music at a Detroit high school. But that all began when? When did you find music, or music find you?
Music found me, actually, in the womb. My mother sang. So I was born, in a sense, singing. I started performing with my parents. My mother had a lovely soprano voice, and my dad played three instruments, all by ear, fiddle, piano, and guitar. By high school, I knew that I wanted to be a music teacher, and that was my focus when I was a student at Wayne University, before it was a state university.
Yes.
And had wonderful experiences in the public schools as a student. I was blessed, fortunate, I don't know why or how, but I was chosen to become the teacher at Miller High School, the choral teacher, as an emergency substitute in regular position a semester before I graduated from Wayne. Mm. So I had my ideal job. And then Uncle Sam interrupted all that with the draft.
You then joined the Army, but you didn't audition for the Army Chorus at first. Why?
It had never had an African-American member. We were stationed in Arlington, Virginia. Now, this is the South, and this was at a time when there was a lot of change. There was white exodus from Washington, D.C. to the suburbs in Maryland and Virginia. So I thought, you know, there's no reason for me, before I go into basic training, to go to Washington and audition for this unit, because my chances of getting in are absolutely, from my point of view, nil.
But you got bored during your Army training, and you decided you wanted something more, so you did end up traveling to Washington with a couple of friends of yours to audition for the Army Chorus. How did the choral conductor react to you during your audition?
So we three sang our auditions, and he told the other two fellows, no, I can't use you. And he said to me, well, can you wait for a few minutes? And I said, yes, sir. And he went into the command room, and the few minutes became a half hour. And my cultural paranoia came to the surface. I said, okay.
Sure.
It's taken a long time for him to tell me no, right? But he came out, and he said, we've decided that we would like to have you join us if it's what you really wanted. And I looked at him, and it's the only time I ever caught him with his pants down. I said, sir, if it wasn't what I really wanted, I wouldn't have traveled all night to get here. And he turned red, and he looked at me and said, yeah, you're right. So that's the way that happened. Again, it was something that I took a chance on.
Mm.
And it worked. The same is true with the whole idea of singing as an opera singer. When I was in school, I had no interest in opera. When a teacher in Washington that some of my friends were studying with, one of my friends kept pushing me to go to study with this man. He had had an operatic career in Germany and in the United States around the turn of the century, and when opera was becoming popular. And so I went to sing for the old guy just to get my friend off my back. And the old fellow looked at me and said, you study with me 1 year, I guarantee you'll have a career. No one had ever said anything like that to me before in Detroit or any place else. So I auditioned for the Met, and I got into the finals, and I lost. I went to the reception following it, and John Gutman, who was one of Rudolph Bing's assistant managers, and a man named Howard Hook, who was chairman of the auditions, came over to me, and they pulled me aside, and they said, we want you to know that we like what we heard you do. we don't think you're ready to go to New York City yet to compete in the semifinals, but you keep doing what you're doing. And I left that reception feeling as though I had won because I had heard what I needed to hear.
I want us to take a listen to some of your beautiful voice right now. What are we going to be hearing?
You'll hear an aria from Verdi's opera Simone Boccanegra. The character is Gabriele Adorno, and he is very upset when he thinks that the woman that he loves is in love with someone else.
You're listening to George Shirley, Professor Emeritus at the University of Michigan School of Music, Dance, and Theater, who was recently awarded a National Medal of Arts by President Obama. You know, as we look to classical music education and performance where we are today in 2015 compared to, well, let's say 50 years ago, what differences do you see as far as what music is available, what stories we're telling, and the opportunities for talented artists of all races and backgrounds?
First of all, when I was a student in school, there was a music teacher available with his or her own room for all the students. We went once a week. And there we learned how to read music. We became musically literate. That's not the case now. There was a time, and Detroit had one of the best systems of music education in the country. There's a man named Fowler Smith who was able to put that curriculum in place and convince people that music played a role in training the mind, the brain, so that it wasn't a matter of training people to become professional musicians, but it was giving them the kinds of challenges that prepare them to do other things as well. As far back as a medieval university, music was included in the quadrivium of the medieval university with arithmetic, astronomy, geometry, because it was seen as a mathematical science as well as one that was aesthetic. And that understanding has been lost over the centuries. We don't have any idea. There are people who do know, but the people who are responsible for the curriculum and setting up the curriculum haven't got the slightest idea as to the power of music to, again, grow the brain and train the mind.
And we've seen time and time again in districts all over, as money troubles mount, what goes on the chopping block?
Music goes out. Yeah. The arts go out. In Detroit, my old high school is now a girls' academy. I spoke a number of months ago with one of the faculty there, and she said, there's no music and there's no art. Which to me is asinine. It's absolutely criminal to take creativity out of the school. The short of it is the de-emphasis on music and on visual art is robbing us of, in a sense, our souls. If you're trying to produce a generation of robots, then something really important is going to be missing from that for the future of this country.
I certainly hope that people, especially decision makers, hear what you're saying, take it to heart. There are people out there fighting for STEAM as well as STEM to insert the arts, and your words are very powerful.
Because of what appears to be a desire to be on top of things economically, which is understandable, we're losing one of the things that would get us there.
George Shirley is the Professor Emeritus at the University of Michigan School of Music, Dance, and Theater, and one of 11 winners of the National Medal of the Arts this year. Congratulations, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.